Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Wrecked, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I'm, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. He will rise above the dead and bring us ahead. It is Micah.
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm fucking pumped up, dude.
Yeah.
I've been listening to some like Finnish metal about werewolves and vampires and shit all day.
Oh, it's so cool. It's such a cool thing. Yeah. I wish that all metal could be as good as this metal music. Has there been metal music that you just don't care for?
Most of it.
Yeah. Most of it, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I went through a phase in high school where I liked metal music, and then I realized that I just liked that era of metal music. Like, I don't know. I didn't care for too much outside of what that, you know, brief period of time was. And also, I realized, because I am who I am, I found Christian metal scenes very intriguing.
Yeah.
So a lot of the metal that I like is Christian metal.
Okay.
Which I know is not what the standard metal scene is. So, really, I don't know if I like any metal.
They do feel it, like, it does feel at odds in some ways.
Yeah.
Just because of the name. Well, I think for a couple of reasons. One being just the, like, aggressive nature of it, just inherently of metal music. And also because so much of non-Christian metal is wildly on the other side of the spectrum.
like
bordering, if not just directly satanic.
Sure.
Like there is a big segment of metal music that is, if it, at the very least, delving into those themes, if not fully, like, no, this is what we're about.
Yeah.
So it does feel a little bit at odds, I think, just on its surface.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing for me, too, because it's not just, because that's 100% true, right? Like, as far as the content and their imagery and their branding and that type of stuff, 100% you're correct with that. But even for me, listening to the music, so even if I have no point of reference as to what the lyrics are or who they are as a band and what they're about, I haven't really found many bands outside of the Christian subgenre of metal that I really love.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's, a time period thing where just this era of metal music was in like the early 2000s, mid 2000s. And then I just aged out of it, or I don't know. It was like, it's like my relationship with wrestling.
Okay.
Like we had a time, right? We had a good run.
You had a moment.
We had a moment, a really sweet moment. And it's enduring and near and dear to my heart. And those bands that I, you know, briefly interacted with were pretty pivotal in my formative years, but not so much anymore. You know, I don't know, but I'm also older, so that could be the case.
Well, and metal has so many, there are so many different genres, and I'm not super versed in them.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if somebody who's like a real metalhead and very knowledgeable on it would say, oh, this is just metal, or if this is a specific,
oh yeah,
is this like black metal or new metal or Finnish metal
or death metal
or hair metal. There's so many different, it's like a tree, and there's so many different like branches that come off of it.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it also comes down to like different, like I love old Metallica.
Oh, see, I don't.
Enter Sandman? You're not into that?
I don't care for Metallica at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me rephrase. I like their music quite a bit. I hate the lead singer's voice.
That makes sense.
So it's
give me
really,
fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I just, everything that he does is just, hey, hey, hey.
Yeah.
I guess, I
let's
just
do
can't.
It. Yeah. It is kind of like he's saying, like, he's just Duke Nukem all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like he's trying to, I don't know, narrate a Quake game or an Unreal Tournament game or something like that. That's just kind of where I'm at with it. I don't know. Even like Black Sabbath. Would that fall under metal?
I think Black Sabbath is kind of considered like the forefathers of metal music. They were kind of like the inventors of the style.
Yeah. But yeah. So I just, I don't know. And then there's hair metal. And I think that that's just like the redheaded stepchild of metal music. Because they're just doing their own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And is that like...
Well, like, I'm pretty sure Van Halen's considered metal, you know, which... And
that's interesting.
And even Van Halen has from, you know, has over the course of their fucking, of their like albums and stuff like that has pretty different sounds. So it's just, it's one of those.
Can we just come out and say that music genres are bullshit?
Yeah, for definitely.
Let's just go ahead and say that. I don't know.
Yeah, because you could apply this to just rock and roll too, right?
Yeah.
You could apply it to rock music. Or hip hop or country. There's so many different, there's always like a lot, but metal specifically, I feel like there's just very specific niche genres within the genre of metal.
Yeah. One of my students mentioned a genre to me called shoegaze. Have you heard of this?
Shoegaze?
Shoegaze as a genre.
Nope.
Yeah, me either. Cause
is it guys who like fabulous shoes?
I don't know. The only thing that I could think of is it's like the concerts that you go to and nobody's doing anything. They're just looking at their shoes like while the music's playing. That's, I don't know.
Okay, so like Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's that. You would okay. think that it's that, but I don't think it's that. Hold on. You know who knows? ChatGPT knows. ChatGPT, what is shoegaze music? All right, so according to ChatGPT, shoegaze is a subgenre of alternative rock that emerged in the late 1980s and early 1990s, primarily in the UK. It's characterized by heavy layered, ethereal guitar effects, dreamy vocals, and a dense, immersive sound.
So like Muse, probably?
Probably. Yeah.
Which, and honestly, I'm not, I think I may have heard one Muse song.
Okay, here we go. Here are some notable shoegaze bands.
Okay.
My Bloody Valentine. Are you familiar with them?
I know the name.
Okay. Lush, Slow Dive, Ride. I have heard of none of these other ones. And then some, I don't know, Cocteau Twins.
From here, it looks like it says Conway Twitty.
Conway Twitty is shoegaze. I love it. I love it. I don't know. It just... Again, bullshit. Because let's look at the very first thing. Subgenre of alternative rock. Isn't alternative rock just a subgenre of rock?
Rock, yeah.
So
and think of all the different people who get lumped into the category of alternative rock.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Stupid.
Like it, yeah.
Stupid. We need to sign an executive order to remove all of the different subgenres of music.
Yep, you basically get reggae, rock, country,
uh-huh.
hip hop, metal. I'll give metal its own category.
Yeah, sure.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Punk. That's it. That's all the music styles.
Yeah.
Oh, and
opera maybe.
Yeah, opera. Anything acoustic is going under the category of folk.
Has to.
Yeah.
Has to. All right. Well, there you go. We'll just sign that into law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Yeah.
There's only 8 genres, folks. We're not having an infinite number of genres here.
Yeah, we're done having this conversation of being like, well, is this really technically alt pop sub? Like, no, shut up.
Yeah, no, shut up.
I guess jazz. We have to add jazz in there too.
I guess jazz is its own thing.
It's definitely its own thing. But same thing, I bet you if you talk to a jazz guy who's like really into jazz, there's probably fucking 50 subgenres of jazz.
They probably have
jazz.
Some like fucking like two-step jazz and waltz jazz and
exactly, yes.
Bullshit. All right, it's okay, jazz, you can have your own genre and that's it. And jazz would probably be the type of like, well, we're going to have our own subgenres.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and then their subgenres will have subgenres.
Yeah, that's fine, jazz, you go do your own thing. Yeah, is scat just vocal jazz?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I do like the word jazz, though. It's just a fun word to say.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. Well, are you, in that case, are you just ready to get into some very normal metal music discussion?
You know what? Actually, So I've gone through another renaissance in my life. So a few months ago, we discussed, I kind of went through a renaissance of shoplifting where I was like,
I remember. Yeah.
I did get turned off it because I was like, okay, maybe a little, but I found a better one. I've kind of had a renaissance. I've just started littering.
So much better.
like, I don't know. Like, I've just been tired of like little pieces of trash in my car. And I'm just like, why am I not just throwing it out the window? I don't care.
They make receipts that are biodegradable anyway now, right?
Yeah. So I've just started littering again. Yeah. If I go through a drive through and you give me a receipt, it's 100%
going on the road. You know, don't you think that biodegradable everything as far as paper wise would be the way to go?
I think everything is biodegradable on a long enough timeline. That's my theory.
Yeah. Even stuff like plastic, you think?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess you could
burn it. In 10 million years. Yeah.
I guess you could burn it.
It'll buy 10 million years. You think plastic's still going to be here?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. You know what almost isn't biodegradable?
What?
McDonald's hamburger patties. I'm pretty sure those are not biodegradable.
What? Oh, was it Super Size Me where they did the thing where they like encased it in glass? Have you ever seen where they do that? They like just like encase like a hamburger patty from McDonald's in like glass or something, just let it sit for years and it doesn't mold. It doesn't
change or anything because of how much preservatives are in it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's wild.
That's how you know it's good for you.
That's how you know it's good for you.
What, you want rotten meat in your tummy?
Golden arches?
It's like, okay, so have you ever seen this thing people are like, they're like, oh, Coca-Cola. It's terrible for you. They use Coca-Cola to clean paint off of sidewalks. Mm-hmm. Like, that can't be good for you. It's like, are you kidding me? I don't want paint in my stomach.
That's the most effective way to clean my insides.
If I drank paint, it'd be great. Like, how is this bad? What are you talking about? Yeah. I don't want paint inside of me.
There we go. You heard it here first, folks.
Like, it seems like if you drink paint, then you should swiftly drink a can of Coca-Cola and you'll be all set.
Yeah. They need that on the side of every single paint can. Like, in case of consumption. You know what? Paint companies just need to start promoting themselves with Coca-Cola. You get a paint can, you get a free liter of cola. Think about that.
Yeah.
People would buy paint more often, I bet.
Probably. Yeah.
And then they tried it, and then you could try to drink it.
And then, look, I've been waiting for a world when I can drink paint with no negative repercussions.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the taste in itself, I would argue, is a negative repercussion, but I see where you're going with this story. Okay. I'm going to try and segue us again. Do you want to talk about metal music?
Yeah, let's talk about Powerwolf.
Okay.
And the Sacrament of Sin.
Yeah. Yeah!
Hey folks, make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care, we'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, folks, today we are going to be talking about the band Powerwolf. They are a German power metal band, known for their theatrical performances and themes centered around werewolves, dark legends, and religious symbolism. They evidently formed in 2003 in a place in Germany. It's called Saarbrücken. I'm pretty sure that it is the town that the Hadouken was named after, that Ryu got his little fireball named after.
Yeah, definitely, obviously. Yeah.
And so currently the band has 5 members. They all change their names when they get into the band because they're theatrical. This is a very theatrical band.
Yeah, for sure.
So according to that, the names Attila Dorn is the vocalist. There are a couple of brothers named Matthew and Charles Greywolf. They're the guitar players. A guy named Falk Maria Schlegel, he's on keyboards. And Roel Van Helden is on drums. And
here's the thing. You didn't have to tell me that they changed their names. They're German names, so these could be their real names, and I would have no way of knowing.
Yeah, they're German. Their last name's Greywolf, of course. 100%. Yeah, so this says that they've released several albums. I'm pretty sure that this album that we are listening to or discussing today, specifically The Sacrament of Sin, I'm pretty sure that it's their seventh album.
Okay.
So they're like in deep by the time that we have gotten around to listening to them. So they're a metal band, but they, especially in this album, have a real big like symphony and orchestral type of vibe behind them. And even some like with the religious tones, the like the church organs are happening a lot in the background. There's a lot of stuff that's happening just behind a standard, yeah, you know, five-piece band.
There's a lot of organ, which is unique for metal in general anyway.
Yeah.
They use a lot of these organ tones. They use a number of the songs have like almost Gregorian chant style where they're, you know, it feels like the backing vocals feel like you're in listening to a church choir.
Yes.
It's all so cinematic.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So with that, I mean, before we dive too much farther into the band, Thor, what's your general take on this? Because I asked if you wanted to praise the Lord last episode. And this is what you got into. I don't think it's what you were expecting.
No, I didn't really. I mean, you did explain a little bit about their vibe and what they're doing.
Sure.
I was pleasantly surprised by this.
Yeah,
so I listened to all of this on YouTube.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've done this, but probably like 6 or 7 of the songs have music videos.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some of them are like live action, like a typical music video, except it's like it's clearly telling a story.
Sure.
One of them is, I'm pretty sure it's like AI generated. It's almost like video game, like a video game.
Is that the one with the priest, that's fighting like the demons in the church?
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
One is just like a lyric video with just, static animation,
mm-hmm,
basically. And then they kind of do that thing where I don't know what you probably know what they call this when it's you take like a picture and it's not animated, but they use some sort of computer graphics to make it look like it's kind of like moving.
Yeah. So that is just like a very subtle animation practice that can be done in Adobe software where it,
right, basically your figures aren't moving, your perspective is moving, making almost seem...
So somebody did a painting, right? And then they took that painting and cut it up so the characters are separate from the background. Or they might take the hand and cut that so that it can be isolated and moved on its own. But it's not like a new set of artwork as the thing moves. It's a painting that they've kind of modified to move a little bit.
Yeah. So I was pleasantly surprised by this because I just loved how theatrical and cinematic it all was.
Sure.
I was taken aback by how much I enjoyed the music.
Yeah.
Because we were just talking about, I'm not a huge metal guy.
Yeah.
But I really fucking dig the music.
Awesome.
I love the guitar player.
Guitar plays really good.
And we'll get into that a little bit too, or I'll give you some specifics of what I like about what he does. But so much about this is just very cool. Like, I didn't really know what to expect. I knew it was going to be a little bit over the top and kind of wild because you're like, they're like a church of werewolves hunting vampires or something. And I was like, okay. So I knew it was going to be over the top and theatrical.
Yeah.
But I was kind of surprised by how solid the music is and how much you can tell this is something they love, how much like just creative spirit is put into it, that they've made all these videos, and they're doing this whole storyline. It's, it's intriguing. Yeah. I was sucked in immediately.
Yeah, the music really jumped out to me when I was when I listened to them, and I stumbled upon this band because I
that's got to be strange.
Well, I listen to music on YouTube as well, so but I'm not the type of person who I don't like playlists. I think I'm the only person in the world who's this way. I get in the mood to listen to an artist, and specifically like an artist and a specific album of that artist, and then I just listen to that album.
Yeah.
I very rarely find myself thinking, I want to listen to a whole bunch of 90s songs or things like that.
I really only like playlists when I personally craft them myself.
Sure.
Like, because I'm that way. I don't want to, it's like, okay, if I want to listen to, like, in Gloria Estefan, I just want to listen to Gloria Estefan.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that and that's
just as a for example, sure. As I often do listen to
Gloria Estefan. Yeah,
yeah.
So I think that I was listening to Volbeat. I think I was going through a Volbeat kick, and I was working, and so the music's playing in the background, and then I realized that Volbeat's not playing anymore, and just this song is going, and I'm like, this song is awesome. What is this? And then I look, and the artwork for this album is like a giant hooded werewolf character who is playing kind of a marionette situation where on one puppet hand, he's controlling a little demon, and on the right puppet hand, he's controlling a little priest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not for me. Like, immediately I go, this is not for me. Whatever this is not my brand. So... but I couldn't help but like the music so much. And so then I started digging and I found out more about the band. And I'm like, oh, they're just being theatrical and ridiculous. Yeah.
Do you know what song it was offhand?
It was Venom of Venus.
Okay. I don't know what that one is off the top.
That one
is
like da 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 da.
That just sounded like Mario.
It
so
was
sure.
Mario. That's where they based World 1-1 off of Thor. But yeah, it was the song Venom of Venus. I think with, as far as the music videos, I'm pretty sure that it's the one that had all the text. Like, it was the lyric music video.
No.
No?
Well, perhaps it was. They may have more just lyric videos. So I pulled up, it's like Playful Album.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that was a lyric video that I saw was
Incense and Iron.
Incense and Iron.
Okay.
Venom of Venus definitely has a like actual music video. Perhaps when you had listened to it, it didn't though.
Yeah. Well, here we go. We're gonna play it real quick. So pause. Yeah. So I heard that, and I'm like, this is freaking awesome. And so anyway, I took a deep dive into that album, and you know what, Thor? Everybody that I have recommended this to has refused to listen to this.
That's why we have this show, so that you can force somebody else to be like, you have to hear this also. Yeah. I have to talk about this with somebody, even if they hate it.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to talk to somebody about
this. And I think that this is the first time, like 2 and some odd years in, that I have taken advantage of that, because I have listened to this album so many times through, and I've tried to get so many of our friends to listen to this album, and they look at it and they're like, nah. They're just like, nope, I will not be listening to that. And it's so frustrating to me because I feel like no one appreciates how good this music is.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my introduction to it. It was that song. And then, you know, as I listened to more and more of them, I just kept falling in love with this album.
Yeah, I get that.
So I will say that the rest of their music is fine, but to me, this album is like where they strike it.
Okay.
Like, this is the Fire in the Bottle album, or Lightning in a Bottle album. For me. Did you know, and you might not be surprised to hear this, but the lead singer, Attila Dorn, he has a background in opera singing.
Okay, I could see that. That makes sense.
And to me, I feel like that really, really helps this band in their theatrics for me, as far as making me like it. Because this guy doesn't have a voice that I would normally like. I feel like he has a voice that would work for standard classic metal music, something along the lines of Metallica.
Sure, yeah.
But he can hit some notes those metal singers do not hit.
Well, and also I'm guessing probably when they're writing songs, he probably draws from that too, because so here's probably my favorite part about this music.
Okay.
Is, and I didn't necessarily put my finger on it, but it makes sense you saying he's like an opera singer, is that, or has an opera background, is that they are not hitting, like, it does not sound the way you expect metal to sound.
Yeah.
Like, even so, I probably the closest for anybody who hasn't actually listened to this, and you should, it's very interesting and I think really good. The closest analog I can think of is like Dragon Force.
Okay.
Where it's kind of like telling these like wild fantasy stories and it's power metal. That's
okay.
Like, I know we said no subgenres, but like, that's like a perfect.
We can talk about them because they're dead. So all of these subgenres no longer exist.
Yeah. But so like, it kind of reminds me of Dragon Force, but that type of music typically I feel like is almost kind of like predictable as far as the melodies and the changes in music, the chord progressions and the changes in music. It a lot of times feels very like predictable to me.
Yeah.
Whereas this, they will do these changes in the song that are wildly unexpected, where it changes a whole different tone. And it almost feels like when you're listening to like kind of classical music or opera music, when it's they'll have this like real change in, they'll like change key, or they'll change like a whole, like the whole feeling of the song.
Sure.
And then kind of like transition back into the original melody, the original theme of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll even do it in like a different key. Which I didn't necessarily put my finger on until this. That's why I was saying I love the guitar player.
Okay.
It's, and I didn't realize there was like two guitar players and their brothers. That also kind of makes sense, because they do a lot of like the lead guitar player. You can tell dude can fucking rip like any metal guitar player can.
Yeah.
Like they can do squiddle, 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 squiddle.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean, is like, that's predictable in metal music, is like a lot of times it feels like they're just trying to hit as many notes as they can, as quick as they possibly can within the key of the song. And it's impressive and it's fun to listen to, but I don't find it that interesting.
Okay.
Whereas this guitar player, when he takes solos, he will do that, but it's like minimal. Because typically he's kind of doing these real long drawn out, like, these real long drawn out bends and hammer ons and pull offs. And he'll kind of like, as he transitions from one part of his solo to another part, he'll just fucking squeeze, 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 and just like rip through it. But then he'll get to this like weird, like almost like dissonant melody over the music.
Okay.
And it's just so interesting.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he comes from like kind of a classical music operatic background, because it is. You can definitely kind of feel those tones compared to like just a standard metal band.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's to me, the orchestral and kind of the, I don't know, the religious tones, I'm not talking about what they're singing about, but as far as that type of music,
yeah,
is really prevalent in this. And I feel like it gives it a nice twist to the standard metal genre.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I think it gives it so much flavor and character.
Yeah.
Because they're telling this like dark gothic horror story, and the music hits that note so well. You know what I want to talk about, though?
Oh, yeah. Hit me with it.
I'm assuming you do. So I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
What is the story all about? I need to know. You're a lore guy, so I know you know what's going on. Do you know? Just, I want to start there. Do you know what's going on, like, in the album?
So.
Hold on, though. Do you, like, Do you, though? Because I want to guess before you tell me anything.
Oh, I see, I see. Do I know basically what they're doing? Yes.
Okay. So here's my... Because I've only listened to the album a couple times. And I've tried to pick up on the lyrics, but it's just tough to catch all the lyrics, especially in music like this. I'm sure. A couple of listen through. Here's my assumption of what's going on in this album. And I'm going to approach it as if this is a concept album telling a complete story. I don't know if that's the case. That's how it feels. So I think what's going on is the church is currently fighting the forces of evil and the undead. So vampires and the undead and demons are rising, and the church is fighting them. Now, there is a group within the church who are partaking in the sacrament of sin. And what I think that is them essentially saying, we know we are damning our souls to hell. We are taking the sacrament of sin to become werewolves and to gain this power to fight the evil. We are damning ourselves in order to fight the evil. Is that what's going on?
I think so. I think okay. So. I think I'm pretty sure. So they have come out and said, like, look, we just like to make weird music. And it does have kind of this, like, connected loose lore within it. It's not something as in-depth as something like Coheed and Cambria, for example.
Okay.
Where there's a deep story that's progressing through.
That's what I thought this was. So, yeah. Okay. So wrong on one account already.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that they care enough to do that.
Okay.
Because
so this is closer to like a Ziggy Stardust situation, yeah, where it's like a loose concept album where, yes, it's just snapshots of telling the story just through like different snapshots.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be more of. Now, there is this kind of group known as the Power Wolf that in this theology, that's a weird way to say it. It's not theology.
Mythos.
Yeah, we'll say mythos. They're immortal werewolves who have decided to rage war against demons, religious corruption, and false priests, and vampires.
Oh, okay.
And
that actually makes a lot more sense than what I was thinking.
Okay.
Because the videos were kind of confusing.
Sure.
Because I was like, I can't tell if the church are the good guys or the bad guys.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think anytime that you get into like a horror setting with the church is always portrayed as corrupt, right?
Sure, yeah.
And there is, I think, a good amount of horror aesthetic within this music.
Yeah.
And so I think that they're doing their own thing they're fighting werewolf or they're fighting vampires, but they're also going against the corruption of the church, right? For those who are corrupt.
Okay.
Kind of like Jesus.
Okay. Flipping over fucking tables and shit.
Yeah, and fighting vampires.
As one does.
I actually...
Jesus and Abraham Lincoln. Vampire hunters.
Known vampire hunters.
You once had ChatGPT write a John Candy and Macaulay Culkin vehicle, like buddy cop vehicle.
Uh-huh.
We should do this. You should do the same thing with Jesus and Abe Lincoln fighting vampires.
Oh, what a good idea. What a good idea. I'm going to tell it right now. ChatGPT, give me a short story about Abraham Lincoln and Jesus, spelling everything incorrectly, fighting vampires through history. Should I add... I'm going to add this, to defeat the great evils of Lucifer and vampires and slavery.
Yep.
Did you know where I was going with that?
Yep. I was going to say the Confederacy, but okay. Yeah, I think yours was more succinct.
Okay, so the title is Blood and Glory, Lincoln and Christ Against the Night.
Yes.
It's still going.
Just a bunch of Southern vampires. Of Southern vampire slave owners.
Oh, they're the worst people. We're
worshiping Satan.
They're the worst people. Take, like, all the bad things. They're probably Nazis, too. Southern vampire Nazi slave owners. That, yeah, they're the worst. It's still going. Oh, okay. So it wrote, like, paragraphs.
Okay.
It wrote paragraphs of text. Should we jump into this?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The battlefield reeked of blood and ash. The year was 1863, and the war for the soul of a nation raged on. But the true war was not just against the Confederacy. It was against the Lords of the Night, an ancient vampire aristocracy who had fed on mankind for centuries, their empire built on the blood of the enslaved. So they're...
This makes sense, because that's why they wanted slaves. Did it help, like, production? Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
Yep.
But really, they were feeding on
them. They needed food, yeah. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln stood tall in his battered coat, his silver forged axe resting against his shoulder. His weary eyes scanned the desolate field. The Union had won Gettysburg. But the shadows stirred, and Lincoln knew the real battle had just begun. A gust of wind carried the scent of sulfur and rot. From the darkness, a figure emerged. Draped in a flowing robe, his feet bare, his eyes filled with a sorrow and that stretched beyond time. "You have done well, Abraham," said the stranger, his voice calm but heavy. "But the work is not yet finished." Lincoln tipped his stovepipe hat. "I've seen many a miracle in my day, but you, sir, you ain't just a man, are you?" The stranger smiled. "I am called many things, but you can call me Jesus." Lincoln exhaled, gripping his axe. "Well, Lord, you picked a hell of a time to show up." That's the intro. How cool of an intro is that?
That's pretty great.
I want the whole thing.
That's pretty great, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there are two more parts. Maybe we'll read those.
Yeah,
and put
yeah,
them
yeah. We'll
the Patreon.
Stop we'll just sprinkle them in.
Yeah, we'll sprinkle them in when we're ready for part two and three.
I do need some casting. Who's Lincoln?
Oh man, who's
David Hasselhoff?
I love the idea of David Hasselhoff as Jesus. I mean, are we talking David Hasselhoff in his
Lincoln.
Prime?
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
David
for
Hasselhoff
Lincoln.
For Lincoln in his prime. That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. I think that's a good one. I don't know. John Mulaney for Jesus?
Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet for Jesus. That's pretty good.
You gotta. So
that would be white Jesus.
That would be white Jesus.
Are we going to go that route? Are we going white Jesus?
Who's our president?
We're going white Jesus.
I'm pretty sure you get locked up if you try to portray him in any other way, my friend. because I think you go Lincoln, because you want an old star,
mm-hmm.
Hasselhoff.
Sure, bring in the tickets,
and then the new young hot star, Timothy Chalamet.
He is in everything now. I mean, he's been Wonka. He might as well be Jesus.
He's Bob Dylan. I want to go see that.
I don't know if I have any interest in that. I guess I just got to be honest.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's a very talented actor, and I've heard he does a very good job as Bob Dylan.
For sure. Yeah. That's why I want to see it, as I've heard it's like really good.
Yeah.
Which, and I'm kind of like, I fucking love Bob Dylan. Especially like that era of Bob Dylan, like when he was a young man.
Okay.
You should watch. There's like an interview you can find on YouTube of it's from the early 60s. It's black and white. And it's like a press interview that he does. And you can tell that he's definitely super stoned. But like all these like reporters are like asking him questions, and they're like, What do you think about this? And he's like, I don't know. I don't care. But they're like, what do you say about people said you went electric and really are you upset that people feel like you betrayed them by going electric? And he's like, eh, people feel the way they want to feel. Like, he so clearly does not want to be there and does not give a shit. And he's just kind of like...
Is he just giving answers that stops the conversation?
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. He's just... And then there's, like, one reporter specifically who you can tell is, like, kind of, like, into Ginsberg and, like, the Beat Poet era, like, a young journalist. And, like... They actually have rapport, but it's so fun to watch him just for the period of time and what's going on. And it's like, he's literally just like smoking cigarettes and just clearly does not want to be there. And is just, they ask him questions and they're trying to ask him gotcha questions. And he's just like, yeah, I don't like, no, I don't really care.
That sounds like the best type of interview to watch.
Dude, it's fucking hilarious. It's like 10 minutes long. It's really fun.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to look that up. I'm going to have to look that up now. Yeah, I know very, very little about Dylan and like the history of his music or him as a person.
Yeah.
I watched the I'm Not There movie. I think that's what it was.
That's where they had a bunch of people play Bob Dylan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
But it was very, I don't know, it was odd. Yeah, it was I'm Not There. But... A bunch of people played him, and it was, I don't know, it was a very artsy film. And I don't know anything about Bob Dylan. So watching it, I'm like,
yeah. Makes sense. It's like, why do I care?
Yeah. Yeah. And also it was just a little tough for me to get into it. And I'm like, oh, is this person Bob Dylan now?
Like, the best thing this guy ever did was write the theme song to Watchmen. So what else?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
did he do other things?
No.
I wasn't even aware of him until I saw Watchmen.
Yeah.
It was that year. I feel like that was kind
of
your...
Yeah, it's like the best intro for a movie of all time. Thanks, Bob Dylan. Get out. Now I don't want anything else from you. Let me watch my superhero films in peace. Yeah. So it might be good. I'm sure. Getting back to Timothy Chalamet, we got off on a tangent. We should probably get off that tangent and jump.
Yeah, we're getting back to Powerwolf eventually.
Eventually. Yeah. Did you dive further into any of their other music, or did you just stick to this album?
No, I just didn't really have time.
Yeah.
So
I think that's appropriate though. Like this album, in my opinion, is their best. I've listened to other albums and they're fine. They're fine. But they don't, to me anyway, they don't hit like this one does. There was one track that I sent you today that I wasn't sure if you had the chance to listen to.
Yes, yeah, Madonna, something Madonna.
Yeah. What did you think of that track? Or what did you think of the tracks in general? Like, what jumped out to you in this one? Were there songs that, like, you really liked?
For sure. Yeah, my favorite was the one I opened on. Fucking Incense and Iron.
Okay.
I feel like I will listen to that song all day, every day. I fucking love it. The melody, like, it's so powerful. It's so fast. It so pumps you up.
Yeah.
The melody is incredible. And it's just, lyrically, it's just fucking... so cinematic.
Yes.
Here, hold on. I had it. Yeah. Oh, I wonder. I hope I didn't close that tab.
I sent this.
I'm just going to read some of the lyrics.
Okay.
Follow the dead in the dark of damnation, pious in head and demon at heart, sworn to the night, an evangelist nation born under the sign of the dark. Gather the wild from the horde of brave men, brothers allied, fight the storm of the curse. Banners up high as we rise, like a legion sworn, all for the light we inverse.
Yeah.
Dude, it's fucking...
The lyrics are awesome, I think.
It fucking pumps you up.
As far as... I feel like they're very poetic. I feel like it's very well written.
Yes. Let's see. Other ones that stuck out. I like Demons... Demons Are a Girl's Best Friend is kind of grown on me.
Okay.
Also, the music video is fucking awesome.
The music video is very silly.
It's just a bunch of nuns.
Uh-huh.
And I guess he's portraying the demon who's like seducing them. I don't entirely know what's going on in the song.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But I think he's saying that these nuns are being seduced by a demon.
Yeah.
All I know is they all end up in their bra and panties, and it's pretty nice.
It's a very catchy song.
Also, yeah, it's very catchy. Demons are a girl's best friend.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard the Marilyn Monroe song, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
No.
Tonally, it's pretty different.
I bet it would be.
Also, I love the opening track, Fire and Forgive.
Okay.
That one has the lyrics of like, what's the chorus to that one?
Yeah, I don't remember off the top. I know it starts out with fire and forgive, and then it just goes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really cool though.
Yeah. Okay, so fire and forgive.
I forget what the lyric is. Something like they chase us with fire at night, or some shit like that. Something about fire.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that one. I really like Demons Are a Girl's Best Friend. Killers with the Cross is good.
Killers with the Cross is a lot of
fun. They have these like really catchy fucking choruses.
They do. I think that's what drew me to them. Yeah.
But Incense and Iron, 100% my favorite.
Okay.
Also, the title track, Sacrament of Sin.
Yeah.
Although not my favorite song, I think is a really great representation of this album as a whole.
Sure.
Because it hits really cool organ parts. It has a great guitar solo. It has a lot of the like kind of like Gregorian chant,
sure, background vocals type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like kind of church choir singing. Has a really great catchy chorus. Like
the drums in that song are pretty wild too. The drummer, I don't know if this guy, I don't know what he eats. He just never stops with a kick drum. It never stops.
Yeah,
it's so much. I love it, but it's so fast. Yeah, I very much enjoyed the drums in this album.
Yeah, this music is fun to listen at double speed on YouTube because it's just like, it's literally just, it almost becomes just noise. I don't know. Whenever I listen to music on YouTube, I like to listen to it at double speed. Just
normally? Like, that's just something you like to do?
No, not like I don't listen to the whole song, but when I'm listening to something on YouTube, I'll always play it at double speed to see if it holds up at double speed. I don't know why. It's just a thing I like to do.
The Thor test of if it doesn't hold up, like, this music.
No,
shit.
No, I just find
this music
it
shit.
I just find it interesting when you double the speed on something to
see how it sounds.
See how it sounds. I don't know. It's just something I like to do, and it is kind of wild when you do that to this music.
I haven't done that. I'm going to have to now.
Because it is so fast.
Yeah.
Like a week or was it last week we listened to AFI?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the only faster music.
Okay.
I've listened to than this.
Gotcha.
That like enjoyed listening to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now I want to do that with a lot of bands. I feel like.
Yeah, it's fun.
Volbeat would be really fun to listen to. He would probably just sound like the Swedish Chef.
Probably, yeah.
Right? Like, you'd have to. Yeah. Well, cool, man. I'm glad that you liked this. I was hoping that you would. I kind of, honestly, I thought that you might, just because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
you know what else this reminds me of?
What?
Metalocalypse.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. I like this more than Metalocalypse, but yes. Yeah. Have you seen So somebody took three of their songs and made music videos, little animated videos called Bat Metal.
No.
And so, yeah, it's just animated Batman to Metalocalypse.
Okay.
I'm going to have to show it to you after this is
done. Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
It's pretty great. It's very silly because it's Metalocalypse music. But they do the Mermaider song as one of them. It's very good. I think you'll enjoy it. It's okay, like right Flash on. Animation.
Yeah, okay, I dig it.
Yeah. And because of that, those are my three favorite songs. I don't know what the actual names of all of the songs are. I know Mermaider is one of them, but I don't remember what the other two are. And so that was one of the things where I listen to it and I'm watching the music video and I go, this is pretty cool. I might have to get into Metalocalypse. and then I try getting into Metalocalypse and I hate it.
Yeah, it's
just
definitely
by itself.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, but then again, they have like the metal brand, albeit a comedic look at it.
You know, that's the guy that made Bob's Burgers, right?
No, I did not know that, yep. But I could see it.
And Home Movies.
That's probably why I hate all the animations of all of those.
And Lucy, Daughter of the Devil.
I don't know that one.
Okay.
I don't
it's
know
another
one.
One with H. John Benjamin doing the voice.
Okay.
The guy who does the voice of Bob.
Yeah. So is the guy who does the voice of Bob, is he in Metalocalypse?
I don't think so.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't.
But a lot of the music from Metalocalypse is Brendan Small.
Okay.
Who made Metalocalypse and Home Movies.
Okay.
And
you know what my
Bob's Burgers.
You know what made me actually start to watch Bob's Burgers?
But his Brendan Small's first show was Home Movies. H. John Benjamin did the voice of the soccer coach in that.
Yeah.
And then he ended up working with him again in Bob's Burgers.
Okay.
As well as like a number of other shows. Sorry, go on.
Oh, no, that's fine. I appreciate all the insight. All the little trivia of the Adult Swim shows.
Yeah.
I refused to watch Bob's Burgers because of the animation.
Okay.
And I really, at the time, enjoyed the show Archer, which has the same voice actor.
Yeah.
There is an episode, like six seasons where Archer is in witness protection, and he's Bob from Bob's Burgers.
And he has, like, amnesia, and he actually thinks he, like, just gets this family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very funny.
And so I was like, okay, that was kind of funny. Maybe I should watch some Bob's Burgers. Like, if Bob's Burgers is okay with this type of thing, that's kind of fun. And then I started watching Bob's Burgers. I still hate the animation,
yeah,
but I do find it funny.
It is a very funny show.
Yeah.
So Eugene Merman does the voice of Gene on Bob's Burgers.
Okay.
So in a season or two before Bob's Burgers came out on Archer, they do like a C-Lab. They do a C-Lab spoof on Archer.
Uh-huh.
And it's like the one girl, Cheryl, her brother is like a rich, you know, their family's rich and he's a weirdo. Mm-hmm. That's Gene.
That's hilarious.
That's Eugene Merman.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, it was her name.
I have way too much knowledge on adult animation.
I'm noticing this.
Like literally that's, you have to understand, that's basically all I watch, like at night and shit like that.
Sure.
So whether it's Archer or Family, like all the Seth MacFarlane shit, all mm-hmm. those, I've watched most of them at least once. Mm-hmm. And then some of them like many, many, many more times.
Many, many
that.
More.
Yeah. That's what I fall asleep to at night.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. So I've got one more hint, or not hint, one more thing about Power Wolf that I would like to talk to you about.
Okay.
Before we close out and move on to the next segment here. Because we have segments. Throw the sound bit in. All right. Now
wait,
that we're in the next...
My wife's calling me, so let's talk to her on air.
All right.
Hey, babe, you are on the podcast. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. I was wondering if you were still podcasting or if I had time to run to the store.
You do have time to run to the store. Hey, what did you think about Power Wolf? How did you feel about it?
I think someone's very angry. Very angry Viking.
Oh, yeah. Kendra did think they were Vikings immediately. She was like, I didn't realize they were German. I thought they were like Finnish or something.
Okay.
Because it does have like Northern European vibes.
Very Scandinavian. Very. I'd love to see them live. I don't think I just drive down the highway listening to them. I'd get very angry.
I would love to see them live as well. Evidently, there's a lot of explosions in their music live. Like they do they burn a lot of fuel.
100% see them live and enjoy them, but not just in a car.
I made her listen to it on the way to come to do this.
That's hilarious.
If you couldn't tell. Yeah. All right. Well, I love you. Yeah, you definitely have time to go to the store. We are still podcasting, but I'll text you when we're done.
All right. Have fun.
Bye.
Okay, so Power Wolf came out with a board game.
Okay.
All right. It is called the Armata Strigoli. Players assume the roles of the Powerwolf band members uniting to combat the nefarious Strigoi, vampiric entities threatening humanity. The game emphasizes teamwork, requiring players to strategize collectively to infiltrate the fortress and thwart their plans.
Okay, right on.
All right. I saw that this exists, and I immediately wanted to purchase it. So,
does it even come in English?
I feel like it's got to. I mean, they sing in English, right?
Yeah.
Let me pull it up. Maybe we'll buy it. What do you think? Would you play it?
Yes.
Board game. Let's see how much it costs. Let's see where it is. How much it costs. It is... It's only $64. Which, I know that sounds... If you're not into the board game environment, that might sound like a lot for a board game. If all you're used to playing is fucking Monopoly or Life, you scrubs, get out of here. But here's the artwork. And yeah. Yeah, $65. I don't think that's too bad, actually.
No.
Well, I might have to buy that.
Who makes it?
It is made by Pegasus Spiel, S-P-I-E-L-E.
Never heard of them.
Me either. There are many languages on the back of the box. English is one of them. So.
Excellent.
Yeah. And on Amazon, it has a 4.8 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
So I think that we might have to.
Yeah, oh, dude.
And there's an expansion pack. Oh, Thor.
Well, it must have done okay if it has an expansion.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And it's called Resurrection by Expansion. Did you... You probably didn't hear this song because it's not in this album, but they have an album, or they have a song called Resurrection by Erection.
Okay.
And so the fact that this... The expansion pack is called Resurrection by Expansion makes me very happy. Okay, well, I know what my birthday gift... Well, geez, my birthday's not for a couple months. We can't wait that long, Thor. We've got to play this.
When is your birthday?
In April.
Okay, that's sooner than mine. Shit.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, so... I mean, I'm just going to have to...
You got $65. What are you doing? You have $65. I know I do. Shut up and hit buy now, you
You're
idiot.
Right. You're right. I need to. You're right. I know. I'm an adult. I have adult money. All right? This is like that time money. I decided that I wanted to buy a long coat. Like a coat that goes down.
You bought a duster?
Yeah, I bought a duster. It's not necessarily a duster. It's not like a leather coat.
Okay.
But it's like... It's a winter coat, but it's like a pea coat.
Yeah.
But it's long.
Okay.
And it's gray, and it's beautiful. And
I've never seen you wear this
dude,
coat.
I wear it all the time. I get complimented all the time on my
perhaps
coat.
I have seen you wear this coat.
Okay. So, yeah, I was like, man, I've always wanted a coat like that. Man, I should. Man, if only I could have a coat like that. That's basically what I'm talking to myself. And then I realize... Amazon exists, and I'm an adult. And then I immediately bought a coat like that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, but I forget. I forget that that's a thing, and that I have adult money. So, yeah, and also their symbol, the Power Wolf logo, I kind of appreciate it. It's a play off of the old Christian symbol, with like the P and the X through it, but it's a P with a W.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's Power Wolf. Right,
I got one more thing to talk about. Let's do another chapter of our story, though.
Oh, you're right. We should do part two. Jesus stepped forward, his presence making the darkness retreat. The curse of the vampire is old, Abraham. It is not merely the thirst for blood, but the thirst for power. Slavery, war, corruption, all are the works of the children of the night. Lincoln's jaw tightened. Then we've been fighting the same enemy. A low growl echoed from the ruins. From the shadows they came, tall, ghastly figures, draped in tattered Confederate uniforms, their eyes burning red, their fangs gleaming in the moonlight. The largest of them stepped forward, his long coat billowing in the wind. His skin was as pale as bone, his hair slicked back like polished onyx. "Ah, the great emancipator!" the vampire sneered. "You think your war will free them? We have ruled over humanity since Babylon. Your mortal struggles are nothing but sport to us." Lincoln's grip on his axe tightened. "I've heard enough." Jesus raised a hand. There's still time for redemption, Verithus. The vampire lord's laughter was like cracking ice. Redemption, he hissed. Your father cast us down for seeking power. We have forged our own kingdom, and soon all of America shall belong to us. Lincoln spat into the dirt. Not on my watch.
Rise over the dead, bring us ahead, incense and iron. Yes. I want to know how this ends now. So, before we started recording, I pulled up the Wikipedia on this album.
Okay.
And I just wanted the track listing.
Sure.
Because I did no research on this aside from listening to it. One of the things that was on the Wikipedia was controversies.
Oh, yeah.
So let me tell you what the controversy was.
Okay.
So the music video for Fire and Forgive, which is the opening track on the album.
Okay.
It was recorded in the Church of St. Mary Magdalene in Skinakwa, Szredina, Poland.
Okay.
I'm assuming I'm saying that perfectly.
I bet you did.
After it released on YouTube in June of 2018, Powerwolf was accused by the local Curia of Swidnica,
all right,
which I'm guessing is like the governing body of that area, that the video, quote, overstepped limits with regard both to the sacredness of the church as well as to the trust shown by the parish priests in charge of that holy place. Many Polish newspapers wrote about this controversy. Most of them said that the band was satanic and anti-church. They're like, we're just making a cool music video about werewolves fighting fucking vampires.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, you're saying, I'm assuming this is probably the same place they filmed those fucking nuns stripping down into their underwear.
Probably.
Because all those videos, like, it's videos for, like, the first three or four songs of the album.
Yeah.
And they all kind of looked like they're filmed in the same place. He's wearing the same makeup. I'm assuming probably all filmed on the same day. So they were probably all filmed in this Church of Mary Magdalene in
Szredina,
Poland.
They probably had it for the day. I mean,
is it sacrilegious? Yes. Is it awesome? Also, yes.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I could see that argument.
Sure.
I could also see the argument of, we're just a band and we are making music. They have come out and said, they as a group have said, like, we're not saying we are anything. Like, some people call us super religious in our music. Some people call us Satanists. We're not telling you if we're anything. He goes, because it's not about us. We're just trying to make fun music. Like, that's what they're all about, right? Like I said, with the whole lore thing, it's not like they've got this super in-depth thing. They kind of have an idea and a theme, and they kind of, you know, piece it together as they go. So I don't think that they care enough to even do anything. Like, I don't think, if the church is okay with it.
Yeah, they weren't doing fucking ritual sacrifices.
Right, exactly.
During the filming, like, of their
filming
videos.
A music video.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And your dumbass was like, yeah, metal band, sure. Film in our church? Shut up. What did you think was going to happen? They were going to, like,
well, I mean, did they film it in the middle of a sermon? Did they film it in the middle of Sunday school where all the children were? Probably not. They probably, like, went in on a day where nobody was going to be there.
I would hope so.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did, right? It's not like the pastor was in the middle of his sermon and then the werewolf people just kicked down the door.
Can you imagine, though? They're like, yeah, they go, they talk to this church. They're like, dude, this place is perfect. We're a band. We're kind of making this music, and it's kind of telling a story, and it's like, kind of revolves around, like, religion and the church, and sure. And it's not anti-church in any way, and the priest is like some old 80-year-old Polish guy, like, yes, of course, yes.
Yeah.
And then that guy's sitting around watching them actually film the music videos, and And he starts seeing, like, this guy wearing devil horns stripping nuns naked, and he's like, I don't know about this.
Well, by then it was too late. He probably knew he was going to get demoted.
Yeah, at that point he's like, fuck, I need to find a new job.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a thing where the church was misled as far as the contents or what they were going to be doing, okay, maybe I could see the church getting upset about that.
Dude, how fucking boring, though, is Sweden or wherever the fuck they said Poland? Mm-hmm. How boring is it in Poland that the fact somebody made a music video in your church is news?
There is that. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it just, you can either get angry about it or you cannot. You know, the church themselves sold things in the church, and Jesus flipped tables for that.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I actually saw that happening in Italy? Like, I took a tour of Italy.
You saw Jesus flipping tables
no,
in Italy?
No, I wish. But no, I saw, like, we went to a church in Italy.
And there was a bunch of Jews selling stuff there, and they just started flipping tables.
Like, picnic tables up, selling Mother Mary magnets.
Yeah, and
inside the church.
You flipped the tables and I looked
around, and I'm like, Jesus flipped tables for this. Like, that's exactly what he did. He would see you guys all right now, and he'd be flipping all your tables.
And then he broke out into an R&B-inspired song and dance.
Yeah, and then he killed all the vampires.
All of my knowledge of Jesus is based on Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's exactly, I mean, it's very accurate. Is R&B one of the styles that made it at the beginning of this? Did they, I mean, is R&B its own genre?
Or does yes, it, okay. Yeah, right. For sure.
All right. Okay. Well, there you have it. Thor, we gotta rate this thing.
Okay.
Okay. How many, just to like really twist the knife, how many lingerie nuns would you rate this music? 1 out of 666.
Okay.
I really twisted the knife there.
Yeah, just
to be clear, I don't support any of that, all right? This is me joking, but at the same time, I'm in it now, so.
Okay, so I'm going to caveat a little bit as far as my rating for this is based on, like, not necessarily, like, as far as music goes, mm-hmm. This is not my favorite music. I probably will not listen to this a ton going forward. But it's going to be a perfect score of 666 fucking undressed nuns. Because I love everything that these guys do.
Okay.
I feel like it's so creative. It's so original. It's so fun. It's so unique. And the music is really great. It is not necessarily like my cup of tea as far as music. There's a number of, most of the songs on this, I didn't like dislike them.
Sure.
I'm just like, okay, it's not really for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect and love what they're doing so much that I'm like, it's just a perfect score. I love everything about this. Is it my favorite thing ever? No. If it was a score as far as like, how much do you like this? Or how much would you be willing to like listen to this again? Probably closer to like 444 or something like that.
Okay.
But just overall, I think this is 100% worth a listen to for anyone who hasn't listened to them. Make sure to watch the music videos too. These guys are fun. They are awesome. If they are playing anywhere near us, I'll 100% buy a ticket to see them.
Oh man, I feel like their tickets would be very expensive, but I might be up for going.
No, they're probably, in America, nobody's ever heard of them. They're playing for $20 a ticket.
Oh my gosh, if they're playing for $20 a ticket, we're definitely going.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love this. I think it's great. It's perfect exactly the way it is. And I also love that they're like, maybe we're satanic. Maybe we just don't give a shit. We'll never tell. It's great. That's how you should approach it. Like, I typically love and listen to music that's really deep and meaningful, and that's the shit I tend to like. But sometimes I also like something that's just fun for fun's sake. Like, they're just telling a cool story.
Sure.
But I fucking dig it. This is awesome.
They're just rocking out. They're just, you know,
and they're incredible musicians.
Yeah.
Like, truly, that's because everything that's cool about this would not be cool if they weren't playing, like, incredible, well-written music.
Sure.
Even if it's not necessarily, like, my super cup of tea, I can't deny that it's great.
Well, and
I think that it's well thought out, like, awesome music.
Yeah, and I think that that's why everybody that I've presented it to looks at the artwork and looks at just what it is, and then I tell them it's about werewolves fighting vampires, for God. They're like, yeah, that's...
Maybe not.
That sounds like... You know, something that you would see in a...
They think you're trying to trick them into listening to Christian music.
Maybe. Or it gives the vibes of, like, early pulp horror comics, like, from the 1970s.
Sure.
Something like that. Or the 1980s. And it sounds cheesy. But the authenticity, I think, of the music, it's just so good. Anyway. So there you have it, folks. 666 undressed nuns. Mark of the Wolf, I hear.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
A perfect score. Yes. You should listen to Power Wolf, specifically The Sacrament of Sin. What do you guys think if you have listened to it? Find us on Threads. Find us on Instagram. Find us on Facebook. Should we create a Blue Skies account just to get booted off quick?
Are we transitioning?
I mean, we could do it to see how quickly we would get banned.
You know what? That actually, yes. Let's do that. Okay, we're going to set a challenge for ourselves. Let's create a Blue Sky account, and every day we'll post like a fun meme.
That's a good idea.
Just one that's fun.
Just one that's fun.
It's fun.
Fun.
And okay. See how long it takes.
Yeah.
For our humor to not be appreciated.
On Blue Skies. I feel like it'll happen pretty quick. Maybe not, though.
No, we won't be, like, overtly, like, we're trying to get kicked off.
No, yeah, we won't be overly offensive for the sake of being offensive.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Find us on Blue Skies in a week or so. If we're still there. And
also, I'm sorry we took 2 weeks off because we've both been very busy.
Yeah. It has been really rough.
So
yeah, I apologize for myself as well.
That's how we do around here. We play it fast and loose.
Yeah, we both have young kids. My job is very busy right now. I'm sure that yours is the same way. Yeah. We try to make it work. If we can't meet though, we'll just push it to the next week. We will though try to start getting back to a weekly schedule.
Yes,
that's our goal. We're not going anywhere. We've just been hit with a lot of stuff at home. So, with that said, you can find us. Oh, we've already done that.
Yeah.
We've already done that.
You find us at Blue Skies, Grindr,
yeah.
Tinder, all the places.
Omegle. Yeah. So until next time, folks,
what are we doing next week?
Oh yeah. What are we doing next week, Thor? That's
Arcane?
A good question. Yeah, let's do Arcane. We both finished that recently.
Yeah.
Let's do Arcane Season 2. It's on Netflix. If you haven't watched it.
Well, we're going to talk about the entire series, right?
Oh, yeah, because we really haven't watched the first one.
We didn't.
I mean, I'm sorry, we didn't discuss it on the show.
Yeah.
Yes. But Season 2 just ended. We did finish it recently. So, yeah, we're going to talk Arcane. Season 1 and 2. That's a lot to watch. However, if you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend it.
It's only 10 episodes each season.
Yeah.
Each one's like 30 minutes an episode.
It's a little bit more, but yeah.
It's well worth it.
It is well worth it.
It is
one of the best.
Without giving spoilers about how we feel about the show, it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
It's really good. You should watch Arcane. It's based on a video game called League of Legends, which I have never played, but I still love the fucking show.
Yeah.
It's fucking cool. So, yeah, we'll talk Arcane next week.
Yeah, I've heard it sucks. So
yeah, it's probably pretty bad.
Probably awful. So next week, folks, we're going to get into Arcane. And, yeah, as always, folks.
Till next... Wait. Nope, the other way, I think.
Until next time, folks.
As always.
You get wrecked out there.
And wait. Sorry, I gotta stop us again.
Oh no.
We need the conclusion to our story of Abraham Lincoln and Jesus fighting vampires.
Ah, okay. Well, Chapter 3, The Battle of the Blood Moon. The knight exploded into battles. Lincoln swung his axe, its silver blade cleaving through undead flesh. Vampire after vampire fell beneath his righteous fury, their bodies crumbling to ash. He moved like a storm, powerful, relentless. Jesus strode onto the battlefield, unarmed yet untouched. With a single touch, he turned vampires to dust. His very presence was the blazing sun in the darkness, forcing the undead back with every step. Verithus lunged at him, his claws outstretched, but Jesus simply raised a hand. The vampire lord stopped midair, frozen by an unseen force. "Your time is over, Verithus," Jesus whispered. The vampire shrieked, his body igniting in holy fire, reduced to nothing but embers. The remaining vampires fled, their empire shattered. Lincoln wiped his brow, his coat stained with dust and blood. "That was something." Jesus smiled. "You have done well, Abraham. The chains of darkness are broken." As the first light of dawn crept over the horizon, Lincoln turned to Christ. "What happens now?" Jesus gazed in the rising sun. "Now we rebuild and we prepare. For evil never truly dies. It only sleeps." Lincoln nodded. He had freed a nation, but the war of darkness would never end. And so, with axe in hand and faith in his heart, he walked forward, ready for whatever monsters lie ahead. The end. Or just the beginning? ChatGPT then says, "Would you like to see a sequel where Lincoln and Jesus take on new supernatural threats?"
Yes, Jesus and Lincoln fighting fucking Hitler. Lincoln okay, you'll have to make the prompt be Jesus or Lincoln essentially becomes like Doctor Who.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this needs to be a long. Okay. We need to make this a recurring theme through our show.
Okay.
As our show goes on, we will build the narrative of Jesus and Lincoln fighting vampires.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm down for it. I'm down for it. If you guys at home have any thoughts on the...
who they should fight, yeah, where they should go.
Where they should go, let us know. We'll get you settled. So, until next time, folks.
As always,
you get wrecked out there.
And stay wrecked.
Yes. I don't even have anything for the end of this episode.
That's the British royalty song.
Yeah, they suck.